Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid on the horn, his album River Nile. Fantastic that he wanted his music to open up the student to teacher radio show via internet. Good morning. Good morning, world. Good morning, all of you out there. Look up at the sky when you get a chance. It's the color of love, as Sade says. I'm in Arizona. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite coming to you live this morning. Yes, it is beautiful here in Arizona, a little overcast. But we can deal with overcast. It's the same thing as life. You know, there's the days that are overcast and moody and cloudy, and then those days that the sun is shining. Which is the better day? It's all about the way you look at it. It's all about the way you want to perceive life for that day. You can look at the rain and you can say it's a terrible day because it's raining, or you can look at the rain and say, hey, it's wonderful. All the plants are getting fed and it just sounds wonderful and just a great feeling to know that the planet is being replenished. So it's really all about how we look at things. I guess that's really what I've been trying to say with looking at all the violence in the schools and the things that affect teachers and students and employers and people that are involved in making, shaking politics and economy in our world. It's all about how we look at it, how we see it, what we choose to do about it. You see, there's the beginning part of recognizing that there's a problem. There's that beginning. You see it on the news, you hear about it, something that makes you feel very uncomfortable, almost terrifies your soul, like some of the violence that's been going on in schools and some of the unfortunate very few teachers who are involved in molesting children. Such a horrible sexual harassment that we're hearing about in religious communities, not particularly naming one religion over the other, because I'm sure with proper investigation you'll find that the same things are happening in the Catholic Church are happening in most religious communities. But something has to happen for you individually. You're the only one who can do it. That you can look at all of these circumstances that are going on in the world, and you can make a decision about how you're going to feel about them. You can believe that there is good in the world, and you can be part of that good. And you can pass a message around that says, hey, we're dealing with this. There is terror in the world. There is fear. There is violence. But there's also good. and I choose to be part of the good. So, as Maya Angelou would say, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do even better than that. Always be your best. So as you improve on one way of thinking about things and looking at life in a more positive way, then when you get to that point, you just strive for a higher way of looking at life. Surround yourself only with people who are going to lift you higher. I remember Oprah Winfrey saying that once, something to that effect. Surround yourself only with people who are going to lift you higher. I have a philosophy that says that when I meet someone or see an old friend, I should feel at least as good as I felt when that person first approached me. When my interaction first began, I should feel as good or hopefully better when that person leaves my presence. Did you get that? Because if you make me feel worse or you make me feel uncomfortable, then chances are I won't be in your company again. And it doesn't mean that I'm judging the individual. It means I'm making a decision, a choice, about who I want to surround myself around, what I want to surround myself with. And it's my choice. Gandhi said once, be the change you wish to see in the world. Be the change you wish to see. So in other words, you start making the change happen. And then you'll start seeing your world around you, your environment, even your family and the way they interact with you, your teachers, the way you interact with your teachers as students, the way teachers interact with their students. And remember again that the premise of the student-to-teacher show is not that we are totally focused on the academic teacher and the academic students, because all of us at different times in our lives become students and teachers. You're a student if you receive information. Are you open to receiving information? You're a teacher if you share the information that you've learned and received. So you see, at different times of our lives, we exchange roles and we become the student and the teacher, evolving each time. And as I quoted earlier with Maya Angelou, going back and not going back, but looking at where you are now and being better than that, okay? Always trying to be your best, as I tell my grandsons many times. So what am I trying to say? What is all this stuff about looking at positive statements and looking at evaluating the way we look at life and our perspective. What am I trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that, yes, there are many people who are afraid, many people that are dealing with the overwhelming violence that's going on in our society. But it's all in the way you look at things. That's what I'm trying to say, is that I can't give you, no one can give you the exact reason why these things are happening, certainly not from a scientific standpoint. But we certainly can see that there are ways to overcome and ways to manage our fear of anything that's going on in our life, especially things that inhibit or make us stop pursuing our goals. There's a way we can look at that. Financially, I hear students all the time talk about their financial situations and how that causes great fear and discomfort in their life, enough for them to pull back and not go forward as far as finishing school. Children, having children, and adults that are not able to manage your households financially or emotionally. Stand back for a minute and just listen as we continue with the student to teacher show, and listen to some archive shows. Go down our list of archive shows, episodes that have been saved, and see if there's something that would help you to overcome some of the things that you're dealing with. Because you see, our show is focused on any form of psychosocial issues that affect people and their ability to pursue their goals, you see. And we focus, of course, on the workforce and school. That only enhances your workforce success. We want you to be a success. But we can only look at success when we have a series of successes that happen in our life, not just one thing that happens, but an ongoing series of successes we want to have in our life. And that's what we hope for you at White Apple Institute. White Apple Institute is a sponsor of the Student to Teacher Show. And we thank the staff of White Apple Institute for always being able to process all the emails and letters that come in, the comments that come in from everyone. Remember that our chat room is open right now. And our lovely assistant, Renee, is there manning the chat room for us. And I think she's online right now. Good morning, Renee. Good morning. It's good to hear your voice. I want the listeners to hear you out there. And let's see. Okay, I've got you now on speakerphone. Oh, not on speakerphone, whatever that is. I'm totally not a radio person, but I do the best I can, okay?
You do a good job. Right. Great job.
Wonderful. Yeah, we're going to talk about the episode today, the title of it. This is the second part, Do You Know Anyone Who Is Afraid to Go to School? And we've been talking about the violence in the schools a lot because that's been an overbearing subject with most of the students and teachers that come into White Apple Institute or connect with us. That has been a very, very common thread. And so we've been focusing on that, and also I'm finishing a book on the psychology of violence in our schools. And so that's why we've been focused a lot on this particular topic. You know that, Renee, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so, you know, today what I wanted to do was talk about more positive things that are going on ways to look at things that are going on in the world in a more positive light and to help people to maintain that. And so one of the things that we have to do is we must address the fear and anxiety that's surrounding our students and teachers and the staff within our schools and within our community, the people in our communities who are concerned citizens about what's happening and why, oh gosh, not even probably 30, 40 years ago, when you heard about violence in the schools, you were usually talking about somebody having a fight or two gangs fighting with each other on the schoolyard. Violence in the school was not about random gun shootings and innocent children being slaughtered. It wasn't about that. But now it's changed. And somehow or another, we have to learn how to deal with things on a more positive level because of everything that's going around. We have to also recognize, as I gave that example about, you know, a few decades ago, that violence in schools was about, usually a fight between students or something. And now we're talking about it on a much heavier level. Just because of that, it's so important that we learn that violence and the fear that we all deal with at different times in our history as human beings, we've dealt with the same amount of fear and violence. And we still got through it. People still flourished, and the world continued to keep growing and prospering. We do have great advancements that are going on all over the world. People are being fed at different levels now than they were 30, 40 years ago. There are lots of positive things that are happening around our world, even within our school systems, and I want to focus on that, because one of our loyal listeners brought that to my attention, is that one of the things that she does quite often is she shuts off the news. And when shutting off the news, she's able to really get in touch with her own positive attitude and start reading things that are positive and start doing things that are positive and looking for the positive in things. But if you're constantly overwhelmed, bombarding yourself with all the terrible things that are going on in this world, you'll never have a chance to feel that positive. And once you feel that positive a little bit, which I call God, which I call love, then you'll want more and more and more of that. So although violence and gun shootings and all of the horrible things we hear about in our schools are reported by the media and overwhelm us, there are even more issues that even need to be addressed. We need to look at mental illness among teachers and students and the molestation issues and sexual harassment in religious, private, and public schools. Okay, it's there, it's there. It is critical that we learn how to trust those in leadership positions to help us solve the problems and not create them. We need good leadership. I think that we could sit together in any community and find a group of people that would tell us everything that is wrong with our world. But at any given time, can you sit right now yourself, listeners, right now, and can you think of three positive things that are going on, not only in your world, but in your life? Just three positive things. And if you can do that, you're in good shape. But you take those three things that are going on that are very positive in your life, and you expand on them, as we talked about earlier, doing better and better and better. If you're not able to do that, then it's time to really learn how to manage, how to truly manage your fear and your violence. And I've got some skills that I want to share with you before the show is over today, and so that we can take some notes down or just make sure that you save the show so that you can listen to it later and pick up these 10. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get through all 10 skills, but I'll try to get through as many as I can this morning. We have a special guest this morning, by the way, Dr. Jamila Williams. You know that our show is not about, we don't focus on the disability aspect of our listeners. Many of our listeners have disabilities. Everybody has some kind of disc in their abilities, okay? But we have a lot of differently abled listeners or people that want to be, want to express their abilities in different ways. And so we focus on the positive of that, and so we don't put a lot of energy into the concept of disability. We integrate it in our discussion because it's important. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was, on a very positive note today, was to share some the image, the vision of people beginning to travel and do things. And it may not be something that you're thinking about right at this immediate moment, or probably the first thing that comes up in many of your minds is there money? Is there money to do this, okay? And one of the things that I'd like you to think about is that in planning, there's excitement, okay? Even though I encourage you to stay very much in the present moment, there's also excitement in planning future events that are positive for you. And one of the things that you can start to do is to look at how you can travel, whether you have a physical disability, which could range anywhere from dealing with cancer or irritable bowel syndrome to diabetes to mental health issues, okay, whatever it is, or you're in a wheelchair, that you can begin to start visualizing yourself doing something different, traveling somewhere different, even if it's within your own locality, within your own city, within your own state. I want you to just think for a minute about the possibilities. And as Dr. Jamila Williams comes on and joins us, she's also going to share some traveling tips for persons traveling with in wheelchairs or with oxygen tanks if they have breathing disorders. And so it's going to be really great to have her on the show. She is also a great educator who may be able to share some positive light about what's going on in our schools, in our educational system today. Wow. I'm so excited about the possibility that you are listening, that you are hanging in there and giving me an opportunity to share the thing that I feel are given to me by God to share with you. That's one of the positive things that are happening for me, is that I'm able to share with you and hopefully help you grow by listening to the Student to Teacher radio show. Yes. So let's talk for a minute about, I just want to share some of the good news that's happening out there. And one of the things that's happening is that there's been an overall decrease. This is what you will not hear in the news. There's been a decrease in violence. There really, truly has. The Department of Education survey shows that students being even expelled for firearms, students being the bullying incidents, arrest, everything has truly reduced in numbers. So that's a very positive thing for us to look at, that even though we're hearing about the dramatization of different violent events that are going on around the world, there are still some very, very good things going on. There's a school in Lenore County in North Carolina, a whole school district, that's actually doing a lot of, and a lot of schools are following this model, doing a lot of positive reinforcement in their school curriculum, reinforcing and rewarding positive behaviors and making sure that there's zero tolerance for anything else. And that has been a great movement. But more importantly, I've got to make sure that I get this point across. More importantly, even though we see some deduction going on in the numbers across the board of what's happening, I would like to hear and see that some of the teachers and students that we communicate with, that we hear about, that contact White Apple Institute, that there's a reduction in the fear about the violence that you're facing, that you're dealing with every day, that you're thinking about. Remember, too, that as we go through life, there's only so much that we can handle. I remember my grandmother used to say to me that God will only give you so much. And I've always taken that in a seriousness, that even when we look at pain, actual pain, physical pain, there's only so much that our nervous system will actually tolerate. So we reach what we call a threshold. That means a point of where we can't take anymore, and our minds and our bodies just shut down. It's a great thing that our Creator has placed there for us, or we would suffer a very long time. But when we're thinking about the ways that we deal and manage our fear about the world and what's going on, and that we don't go to one extreme or the other, we don't want to go to the extreme of watching the news and being involved in the news so much that we talk about it all the time, and we don't also want to go to the extreme of not being involved with at least some things that are going on in our world. So we have to find a good balance for ourselves. As, again, one of the loyal listeners brought out about the balance between watching the news and not watching the news, okay, and what affects us and what actually is part of our life, what's applicable to what's happening in our immediate life. So I'm hoping that at this point you have gained some understanding about what this work is all about that we're doing on the show, and that you'll continue to stay a part of it. I was just looking at the list of listeners, over 45,000 listeners now that are on the show, and we certainly appreciate your support. And we hope that all of you take some time and go to the whiteappleinstitute.org website and make a donation to keep this show going. Okay? So that's just our little blurb for this morning. Let's see. We have a couple of callers online. We have a 602 number. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Apple.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. One of our loyal listeners there. And I wanted to know, did you have anything to say about what I was speaking about the positive aspects?
Yes, of course. By the way, my name is Consuelo Aspeto.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And just in case, you know, people don't know who I'm speaking.
One of our very loyal.
I absolutely concur with everything you have said so far. And regarding the positive aspect, yes, we can always, I'm sure, at least I'm able to find three positive things that I can think of.
Oh, wow.
In my life.
Wonderful.
Yes, and that is something that we have to strive for. I think it's beautiful, the idea that, you know, to plan on doing something maybe different than positive, to start planning on doing something positive for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Like traveling. I think that's
mm-hmm.
a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to try to come up with some things that will enhance our ability to move in a more positive direction and start
yes.
thinking more positive about our world.
Yes, yes.
Because there are good things that are going on out there, as you have even voiced to us, is that, you know, in spite of everything that's going on, regardless of everything that's going on, we need to learn how to find peace, and we need to be able to find peace and love. And I remember, and I can't help but give this example again, I'm moved to give it again, and that is the example of the man in the village who was looking for someone to paint the picture of total peace for him before he made his transition in death. And all of the artists that came around him drew beautiful pictures of the beach, of the ocean, and the village leader said, no, that's not the picture of peace that I'm looking for. And a young man at the very last moments of his life came up with a picture of the most hideous things that are going on in our world and his world there. And, I mean, it was just horrible, all the things, but they were real. They were factual things that were going on. And so there were small pictures around this portrait. And then in the very middle of the portrait was a picture of a bird singing with the sun shining behind it and sitting on a beautiful twig and just singing its heart out. And that was the actual total picture of peace, is that amidst the violence, amidst chaos, that we continue to be at peace within ourselves, that we seek that. So I couldn't
that
help
is,
but bring that out. Go ahead.
That's beautiful.
Thank
that
you.
Is, and it's reality. That's what reality is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're surrounded by turmoil, and then we find peace in the mix of it.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Apple, can I say a few of the positive things that I found? I mean, the three positive things
yes.
that I
Please.
Came
Please
up
share.
With. I
yes.
actually came up with two, and
uh-huh.
then when you said the reduction of violence, that then I incorporated that into my three aspects.
Uh-huh.
The reduction of violence, that's wonderful. Number two, I am trying to change my daily habits in my life.
Uh-huh.
So that I can have a more healthy, positive, and efficient way of life.
Uh-huh.
And the third thing, you know, talking about peace
uh-huh.
and good news about peace, today there is a big congregation of people at the Methodist Church downtown Phoenix
uh-huh.
on Central Avenue. They are all getting together for 4 hours. I don't know exactly what the whole program is. I was supposed to go, but then I
mm-hmm.
couldn't go. It started at 9 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to focus on peace through, it's called contemplative prayer,
mm-hmm.
but I have been told that that is very much like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
mm-hmm.
if enough people in the world can do that, we will change the consciousness of the world
yes.
to be more peaceful. And so
yes.
it has to start with individually with each one of us. So that is
yes.
the one good news that I found, you know, for today.
That is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And there are many, many groups around the world that are dealing with peace. We have an actual Department of Peace that White Apple Institute is connected to, the Department of Peace in Washington, D.C., that we have an actual department dedicated to peaceful interactions around the world. And
I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yes. So I encourage you to look at that, the Google in Department of Peace, and see what activities are going on. Activities very similar to the one you mentioned that's happening in downtown Phoenix, which is great. Now, I love the way you talked about changing your daily habits, and then that's one of the things that that you're looking at as a positive that you can do for yourself. And I encourage, because you are a teacher yourself, and I encourage all teachers out there to look at how we can change our daily habits to really get in touch with how to manage our fear. Because, you see, this management of fear, the reason why this becomes so important is that fear brings on stress, and stress affects your job performance. Whether or not you see it immediately, you as teachers, you as leaders, you as counselors, out there that are listening to the show, know that at whatever capacity that you're in, that you influence many lives. And so if your performance is not up to par, the people that you are in contact with, that you're sharing information with, are going to feel that impact. And if it's negative, they're going to feel that impact, of course, and if it's positive, they always feel that, right? So that's why it's so important that we get in touch with managing our fear and look at how we can change some of our daily habits. And one of them in managing fear, and I have to give credit to the article by Dr. Melanie Greenberg, and she talks about the mind-body experiment, the mindful self-express. And she shares 10 skills to manage fear and anxiety in an unsafe world. And these are great psychological skills that hopefully will move many of us to the positive. And one of them, and all of this is about changing our daily habits, and see if this, Consuelo, Professor Stetti, makes any sense to you in the way that you are interpreting changing your daily habits. First, it's about accepting our feelings. And we've talked about this before, but it's real important to emphasize that we give ourselves time to allow for sadness, to allow for the fear, to be present and recognize what it is. It's the same thing when we were in kindergarten or whatever in elementary grades, and the first time that someone actually confronted us and made us feel uncomfortable, you know, like the kid who punches you or pulls your hair. And that uncomfortable feeling and how you overcome that. First, you have to recognize that it's there. And then when recognizing that, balance how much you let that traumatize you. Now, how can you do that? You have to kind of reestablish the way you follow your routine every day. Many people, the first thing they do is turn on the news in the morning, and I understand that. Maybe if that's affecting you in any way, that you change that particular routine, change that daily habit, and instead either sleep in a little bit more, a few more minutes, or get up and exercise, eat something healthy, get on the phone and call a friend, do some meditation, okay? And strengthen yourself. And I really appreciate the way she brings out about creating a mental safe space, because we talk about that a lot, mentally creating a peaceful and relaxing setting in your mind the visualization that must take place. So creating a mental safe place is another great way of managing the fear about what's going on in the world and the fear about stepping forward and doing something that is different than what you've been doing before. If you've been telling yourself, I'm going to go back to school, or I'm going to finish school, or I'm going to finally look for ways that I can promote my myself and my job and take some additional training. If that's been, if in any way that has been hindered by the fear that you feel about yourself, about your disability, and that you're not able to look at your abilities, if it's about the way that people are looking at you because of mental health issues, change your daily habits. Listen to what we're saying. Accept your feelings first. Start changing your daily routine and create this mental safe place. Now, one of the things I really like about what Dr. Brittany Greenberg brings out here, and we'll have to see if we can get her to come on the show one of these Saturday mornings, is that she brings out that we need to find self-compassion. Treat yourself and your own feelings with tenderness and compassion. Don't push feelings away. And we do that so often. We push our feelings away. We push them down. It's called suppression. It's a conscious desire not to think about what's really going on, even though it's going on. And so we don't want to recognize what's happening. But our mind is still going to keep it there. And so internally, subconsciously, we're going through turmoil inside of us. We just don't want to acknowledge it. And it begins to impact us on a physical level as well as an emotional level. And we find that many times when we're talking about adolescents, young people that are, you know, 16, 17 years old, even earlier now, that are going through adolescence, are feeling those things. And they don't have that that balance. And hopefully parents will have that balance and be able to teach that and model that to their child, to their adolescent, almost young adult there. But many times, parents are not balanced. Teachers are not balanced. And so, therefore, we find a lack of leadership and of modeling. But that doesn't mean that you have to give up, because you can have compassion for yourself. You can make a change within yourself, regardless of whether or not your parent or your teacher or your pastor, your religious leader, has negative things going on in their life. You are the one who can make a decision about how you are going to perceive your life and what you are going to do to manage your fear and discomfort in this world. And one of the things that I really like about these films that she brings out is creating a narrative. And I always encourage my clientele, to develop a story. And in putting the story together, what I always encourage people to do is to look at the fact that you have the ability to write your own story about your life. Okay? You do. You have the ability to write what you want your life to be. And then at any particular time, you're in control of your own keyboard. And you can hit the delete key anytime you want to delete what's in your story that you're writing about yourself and how you feel about the world. Okay? So you have that control. You have that power. You have that ability. No one else can delete your story but you. No one else can continue to write it but you. Okay? So even in spite of what's going on around the world, we can see that we have the ability to still control the way that we put things together in our life, okay? So create your own story. Create a story about your present moment, about what's actually going on now, what positive things are happening in your life right now, or recognize what's causing you fear or discomfort. Write that out too. This recognition is important. But now let's focus on the positive things that you've written about your present moment. And let's focus on some things that we can do to help us to see life in a more positive way, like planning a trip, like our guest, Dr. Jamila Williams, will come on and talk about how important, how pleasant it is for some people to plan a trip. So this is part of creating your story. Now, we've always talked about your network of support, seeking support and seeking connection, reaching out to others, not only for advice, okay? And we must remember that word advice or suggestion, because you finally make that final decision. Remember, I talked about a moment ago that you're the only one in control of deleting your story and writing in and rewriting it and editing and revising it. So, yes, it's good to seek out support and advice from others. But sometimes it's just good to be with others for comfort, just to be around someone else, okay? Dr. Greenberg talks about you can listen and be and choose a person who can listen and be with you as you struggle through the anxiety, okay? And also, of course, think to the positive. Very, very important. Looking at your value systems. I talk a lot about value systems. I have one student right now who is in her early 30s, and she's trying to value her life in a different way. She's valued her life on drugs, on very, very bad drugs that have caused addiction issues and all the things that go in that particular arena. And now she's beginning to value herself in a different way. Well, what does that mean? It means that she has to first recognize that she didn't value herself before, and that's why she went into destructive patterns. And destructive patterns are not necessarily drug abuse. Destructive patterns could be the way we even eat our food, the way we allow ourselves to gain weight or not gain weight because we're so fearful about what people are going to think about us. Fear is a tremendous, makes a tremendous negative impact on us emotionally and physically. So we have to understand, what do we value in our life? What's important? How do we want to see ourselves? Sometimes I have to get down to real basics with people when I talk about value, and I have to say, you know, how much do you think you're worth per hour? Are you worth minimum wage? And most people say no. Most people say no, I am not worth minimum wage. I'm worth a lot more than minimum wage. Okay, so how much are you worth? Some might say $10, $12 an hour. Some might say $20 an hour. Some might say $100 an hour. Whatever it is. That the monetary, the numerical amount is not important. What it is that you've placed some kind of value on it that maybe you can understand in a very basic way. That if you count the number of hours that you spend on negative things, on things that cause you fear and distress over and over and over again, that whatever you say is your value of how much you're worth in this life, that if you say you're worth $20 an hour and you spend 3 hours worrying about what some girl said to you in school, or what some guy didn't do for you, or what some teacher did to you, that every time that you do that, you're taking $20 per hour and throwing it down the trash can, okay? Because that's the value system that you've set up for yourself. So you need to watch it. You need to watch what your values are. We have some people coming through on chat, and it says one of our saying, you know, I'm glad you're focused on retelling your story and bringing out the best in creating the best ever, though you might not see it. And I appreciate that the person who wrote that out for us. We're always thankful for those that join us on the chat line. And remember, that's just great for those who are feel even somewhat uncomfortable about coming on live and sharing your voice. And we always appreciate, at the end of the show, at 11 o'clock, there is a show that's coming on, Nazim Rashid's show, Mentor Man. It comes on Blog Talk Radio. And he always starts off with some great good news on his show and some positive things that are happening. So make sure that you look out for Mentor Man following us at 11 o'clock in the morning. So thank you very much for your comments, and I want to make sure that that we've done everything we can to engage our listeners out there in discussion. We always want to make sure that we do that. And so feel free to comment on anything that I brought out in the last few minutes. I want to finish up with a few more skills, and then we're hopefully we're going to have a call-in from Dr. Jamila that will share with us some traveling tips and make us feel a little better about the way we plan our lives and create our visions. One of the things I do want to focus on before I leave these skills that Dr. Greenberg had brought out is ways to channel your energy, your anger energy. And one of the things that you can do is to start writing some letters, take some action. Join some groups. You know, if you're concerned about violence in the schools, look for ways that you can counteract that. If you're concerned about the molestation issues that are going on in our schools and our teachers with mental illness issues, our students with mental illness issues, get involved more in some of the groups that are going on out there. And if I have time, I will bring them in at the end of the show. I'll have a list for you, or you can always go to the White Apple Institute website and connect with me there, and I'll be glad to share with you some organizations that will help you with that. But do something constructive and think about ways that you can feel grateful, okay, expressing your gratitude for the things that are going on. Like I mentioned, that school district in Lenoir County, North Carolina, that's doing wonderful things with positive behavioral support and making sure that they reward students for the good things that are going on in their lives, and also having zero tolerance policies. Don't forget that I also said that we have a reduction going on in violence in our world. So it's really about, again, let's wrap this up. It's about developing a positive attitude about the things that are going on in this world and making that choice to do that. And even though in the midst of all the chaos and violence, we find a way to find peace within ourselves, it begins with us first, okay? Be the change you want to see in the world, as Gandhi said. And without further ado, I'd like to see if Dr. Jamila is online right now so that we can begin with her. Dr. Jamila, are you there at 503?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. What we wanted to do with our listeners is to make sure that they understood the value of planning something positive in their lives. And so this is so timely that you wanted to come in and share with us some travel tips. But first off, we'd like to know, how are you dealing with or how do you feel your students, the people that you're interacting with on a daily basis as a doctor in education, how are they dealing with managing the fear about what's going on in the world and the violence and that kind of thing?
Well, you know, I was listening as you were talking about, you know, the fear as far as going ahead and setting your goals and your plans. And mm-hmm. what I often talk to people about is that fear of success. You know, we often think about the fear of failure, and people don't want to try things because they're afraid it won't work. But sometimes people have that fear of success where they're afraid to be successful because they're
mm-hmm.
afraid
yes.
if they're successful, they'll have to change, or that somebody will look different at them, or they may not be able to have the same friends. And so, you know, that fear of success is a lot of what I talk with people about, and
mm-hmm.
the things that are going on in the world. it's happening around them, but don't let that hinder you from going forward and doing what you want to do and attaining your goals and dreams that you have in life.
We still have a beautiful world.
Yes.
We still have a beautiful world, and there's a lot of positive things that are happening. Even though, you know, we've been focused a lot on violence in the schools and violence elsewhere, and we even have mention of all the sexual harassment issues and molestation issues and all of that stuff going on in the world. But it is about the way we look at things. And hopefully you can help us to look at a different aspect of how we can plan some positive things in our lives, like traveling within our own city or traveling to another state or another country. You know, we have some listeners out there that have severe disabilities that are dealing with wheelchair issues and oxygen tanks and all kinds of equipment they have to carry with them. I have to carry equipment myself when I travel. And sometimes it's very difficult. But if you could give us a few tips in this, we have about 10 minutes left on the show. We really appreciate you sharing some things about your business and what you do.
All right, I would love to. I'm going to start out with talking about my mother. Now, my mother had that fear of travel.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, some of the people that are listening online, it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, I can't walk all the way to get from gate to gate, or I can't walk all the way down that plank. And so what we did is we looked at the various options. And for people on airlines, if you need a wheelchair, which in her case she does, is that when we're making their reservation, there's always a place there that says, disability or accessibility, and you can right there when you're making that reservation request that a wheelchair be provided for you. So for her, right when we check in, right there at the counter, they bring her a wheelchair. That takes her all the way to the gate. It'll take her all the way onto the plane. Even for I've seen people that needed the wheelchair to be assisted all the way to the seat, there's even that available for people. You know, and it'll pick you up when you land in your destination and take you, get your luggage, take you to whatever your transportation is. So if you're in need of a wheelchair, don't let that be something that stops you, because it is definitely available to you for your flight, as well as on cruises. You know, people think that, well, if I need a wheelchair or oxygen tent or, you know, different, or oxygen tank or things like that, I can't travel on a cruise. But you can. Because there are things that are set up so that you can have that scooter or that wheelchair available right there for you, or if you need to bring it with you, if you have your own, that you can take that on a cruise as well. So,
you know, Dr. Jamila, I am really excited about what you're saying, because and the wheelchair issue is definitely there, but we have more people that have disabilities that you can't see. And the fear about traveling, it's so basic as to, I mean, how close are the bathrooms? I mean, it's going to be a new environment totally. How can we help people to get past the fear of doing something different in their life and traveling, and at least planning a trip, even if it's a 1 or 2 years away from now? There's excitement in it. How do we get them past that fear?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is that work with a travel agent. And even though I know some people say, well, I can do it myself, but a travel agent is able to look ahead and work out some of those exact issues that you're talking about. So making you sure you have whatever it is that you need, even if it's someone that has maybe not can see as well, or maybe they have some other kind of disabilities, that they can get the assistant lined up for them. You can even have a guest that will come with you that maybe not be flying with you, but that can go with you through the gate to make sure that you get on your plane. Okay, make sure that you find the bathrooms and everything. So you can have all those types of services preset in there. And like you said, definitely do it ahead of time so that you do have those abilities to get that worked out. Even if you just have a dietary need, you know, something special. I was recently on a plane with a man that had a peanut allergy. And so we were sitting around the area where he was, and he let the stewardess know that he had a peanut allergy. Well, she made sure that everyone around him did not eat any peanuts, even though they gave, they gave them something else other than peanuts so that he would not have any difficulties. So the stewardess, the plane, the airline, they're all open and wanting to work with people to ensure that you do have a safe time. So, you know, don't be afraid to travel, but you do have to know how to access those resources.
Now, if you're you have a travel agency yourself, and your travel agency name is?
It's JGS Travel.
Okay. And and they can get in touch with you how?
They can give me a call at 623-640-4322. Or they can just also go to my website, which is www.jgstravel.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And even on my website, if they go to the extras tab and there's a special link that says special needs, right there on the website, that they can read about all the things that are available for them so that it will alleviate that fear, because it's right there in writing and they can read it for themselves. Or they can give me a call and I can also, you know, listen to and see what their disability is and how we can make their travel, whether it's through a cruise, whether it's through an airline, whether it's through Amtrak, whatever, but how we can make that a pleasurable one so that there's no fear, no worry about, well, what if, so that we can answer
so
all
glad.
Of their questions.
I am so happy you are linked with us, Dr. Jamila, because it's so important to have someone with your compassion and your knowledge that can help our listeners out there to not only for themselves when they're ready to travel, but for their own family members. And
yes.
So this is good advice that you're giving, and I hope that our listeners take advantage of the fact that Dr. Jamila is available to talk to you about some of your fears, apprehensions about planning a travel, some kind of excursion, so that you can start building a different way of looking at your life every day. If we continue to immerse ourselves in all the negative stuff that's going on, we will not be able to look outside of the box and see the possibilities of doing something different. And so we're going to try to start bringing that to the student to teacher show, different things that you can do. Do we have any questions from any of our listeners online? I can't get to everyone, but Professor Stepe, anything that you'd like to say to Dr. Jamila?
Well, I think these tips that she has given us are very valuable. But I was thinking more of the psychological aspects of motivating people to do something different for themselves.
Yes.
So that their whole life will change if they plan on doing something different, whether
yes.
it be traveling or doing getting out on a day that, you know, they don't usually get out,
mm-hmm.
or calling a friend to help them and do something different.
Right.
You know, of course, traveling is wonderful, but it takes a lot more planning, etc. But I was really concerned about the psychological aspect of motivating people to do something different in their life, because in the long run, it will probably make an impact also in their health. And
right.
talking about the mind-body syndrome thing,
if you
start changing your daily habits, your whole life will change. And, of course,
yes.
doing things differently is part of changing your life.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think there's one thing. Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say one thing that is, like, just like you're saying as far as the psychological, changing that negative thought by exposing yourself to different things. Yes, there's a lot of negative things that are happening in the world, but there's a lot of great things happening in the world, too. So when
yes.
you're out and about, whether it's just going to a local museum, or going to a theater, or going on a cruise. Regardless, of when you're out of your ordinary day-to-day routine and you move into seeing something great that's out there, something that you never seen before or that you thought wasn't possible, being immersed around other people, and you will notice other people with disabilities and that
mm-hmm.
they're being successful and having a great time too. So when you enlarge your environment, you're going to change that inner thinking of negativity or I can't do it, because you're going to see different things and experience
Wonderful.
Different things. So you immerse yourself into that positive environment, and it will help to change that inner negativity within you.
Wow, that is powerful. As we close today, and we thank you so much, Dr. Jamila, for joining us, and we invite you back with some of these great things that you can open our minds up to. I have to close with asking everyone to focus for a minute on one of the greatest women that I've known in my life, and that is Mother Teresa. And she is still, her work is still mentoring me to this day. And she said, let no one come to you without leaving you better and happier. And I had mentioned that earlier in the show, that we want to make sure we surround ourselves around people that make us feel better. You're doing a great job right now just being part of this show, all of you out there, and sharing the message. And we're looking at the increase in listenership, and we're just really happy that if we're helping anyone out there to develop a more positive attitude about what's going on in our world, especially our students and teachers that are struggling so hard to be in a safe environment, to see themselves safely. We wish you much love and peace as we close our show this morning. And thank you, Dr. Jamila. Again, we want you back on our show, and we hope that you'll come back in. We're going to close with some very quiet music of reflection, as I asked you to do earlier in the show, coming up with three positive things in your environment right now. Let's see if you can do that to the music of Wes Ricks, Two Worlds, as he plays his flute. Have a great week. Dr. Danita Applewhite.